I went to school a lot, a long time. I went to school for 24 years. So let me tell you what I learned in 24 years of school. This is the most important thing to learn. You were made by God, and you were made for God. And until you understand that, life is never going to make sense. You were not made for you. You were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life is never going to make sense.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. As we continue in this series called Unshakable, which is based on the life of Daniel, you'll discover how to live for God no matter what comes your way. In a year that has caused millions worldwide to experience fear and anxiety at a heightened level, it's never been more important to get God's word out to as many people as possible. This month, we're excited to announce a $50,000 matching grant that will allow us to do just that. If you'd like to help this ministry as we reach out to the world with the hope found in Jesus Christ, just go to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called, Are You Learning from Those Who Came Before You?
If you're going to be all that God wants you to be in life, if you're going to succeed the way God intends for you to succeed, you're going to need mentors, models, partners, and friends. And these will help you from lessons from the past. First, you need mentors. Now, mentors are your coaches. They're the people who help you along in life. In my life, I've had 9 different mentors. Why? Because nobody can teach you everything. So you don't need one mentor for your life. You need somebody who teaches you this. You need somebody else over here who teaches you this, and somebody else who teaches you over this and this. Some of my mentors were famous, but some of them were just normal. You would never even know who they were. Probably the most famous mentor I had was Peter Drucker. Peter Drucker was the father of modern management, pretty much invented the modern corporation. And for the last 20 years of his life, I would go to his home, and he mentored me from age 75 to 95. And died at 96, and taught me stuff that I didn't know about. How do you organize a very large, complex system? So you need mentors in your life. Second thing you need is you need models. Now, models they're already doing what you want to do with your life. We learn fastest by model. Everything you learned, all these things, skills in your life, by other people modeling it for you, like how to talk. So you need models in your life. I want to recommend, if you're going to have a model for your life, that they be dead. You say, why? Because the jury's still out on people who are alive. The jury's still out on me, on you, and everybody else. And some people start off well, but they don't end well. And so you might want to choose a model from history, because then you can see their life from beginning to end. You can see the arcs in it, the ups and the downs, highs and lows, the problems and the pitfalls. But you don't want to choose as a model somebody who you think, wow, that's my model, and a few years from now they really crack up and burn out, and you've been climbing this ladder of success and you get to the top and you realize it's leaning against the wrong wall. So you need mentors, you need models. I would have live mentors, dead models. Then you need partners. Partners are the people in your life who row the boat with you. They're your coworkers in your profession. And partners can help you and challenge you, can support you. Everybody needs partners. And then, of course, you need friends. Now, friends aren't helping you with your goal. They're just friends. And friends love you no matter what you do. You can really mess up and they love you. They say, hey, you're a good egg, even if you are a little cracked. And friends, what is a friend? A friend walks into your life when everybody else walks out. Then you know who your friends are. You know, they're there when you need them the most, when you don't deserve a friend. But you need to have in your life always somebody you're building into and somebody who's building into you. You need a mentor, you need a Paul, and you need a mentee, you need a Timothy. Everybody, you need to have somebody who's pouring into your life, and you need somebody you're pouring into their life. And usually they are older and younger. But you need to learn the lessons of the prior generation. Now it says, Ask the former generation. How do you ask them if they're dead? Well, biographies. Read biographies. I tell my staff, here at Saddleback Church, I have 513 staff, paid staff. And I'm telling them all the time, all the lessons are in the past, and all of the opportunities are in the future.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional, or if you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
In a year that has caused millions to become more isolated than ever, dealing with emotions like fear and anxiety at a heightened level, it is clear that access to the hope of God and His Word is more important than ever. At Daily Hope, we know how vital it is that as many people as possible find that hope as easily as possible. You can help ensure that God's Word continues to be delivered to more and more people around the world. This month, we're excited to announce a $50,000 matching grant that will help us to continue reaching as many people as possible with daily hope for their lives. Your gift today will ensure we are able to keep doing just that. But we only have till midnight on June 30th. After that, we lose any part of the grant we haven't used. Please call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com today to give your gift so that those in need have access to the hope found in Jesus. We'll say thanks by sending you a copy of Rick's 365-day devotional, Open Doors, a year of daily devotions. Remember, any gift you give today will be matched up to $50,000 till the end of this month. That's 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Once again, here's Rick.
Look at this next verse on your outline. Why? What the Bible says about itself. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. These things, talking about the stuff that's in the Bible, these things occurred as examples to warn us and to keep us from wanting to do the same evil kind of things they did. For the scripture says that we should avoid drunken parties, sexual immorality, worshiping things that aren't God. We should not test the Lord's patience or grumble and complain as some did, and they died. And he said, these things happened as examples, and they were written down as warnings for us. So these are the first two things. Make a commitment to never stop learning, and then learn the lessons of prior generations. The Bible says this, James chapter 4, verse 6. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Why does God oppose the proud? Because they're unteachable. They think they know it all. They can't learn. Humility is saying, I can learn from anybody. You can teach me. Can I teach you? Can other people teach you? Humility means you can learn literally from anybody. Now, number four, the fourth key to wisdom is to refuse to fill my mind with garbage. Refuse to fill my mind with garbage. You know, we're all worried about water pollution and air pollution, and we ought to be. We're to take care of the planet, but those very people are often not even worried about the pollution they allowed in their mind, the concepts, the words, the thoughts that are actually harmful to your life on television, in movies, in books. And actually, when it comes down to what you feed your mind is as important as what you feed your body. So what do you need to eat more of? What do you need to eat less of in the content that you fill your mind with? You know, there's basically four kinds of content you can fill your mind with. You can fill it with a poison. Poison is stuff that'll kill you. There are concepts that'll actually derange you or degrade you or demoralize you or defeat you. There are self-defeating thoughts that you tell yourself. There are self-defeating thoughts that other people tell you. That's just poison. Pornography is poison. You don't fill your mind with that kind of stuff. So you stay away from that. But then a lot of stuff is just junk food. And a lot of stuff that's on TV, I call it the equivalent of mental Twinkies. There's no nutritional value in it. It's just there. And yeah, you can eat junk food, but you're not going to be very wise. Then the third thing you can fill your mind with is brain food. And that's good stuff. Now, the people who are on the stage just now, they deal in brain food. And they teach you stuff about life. They teach you stuff about, you know, science and math and history and English and geography. That's brain food. That's good stuff. You need to fill your mind with stuff that educates you, makes you a stronger and more rounded person. But then you also need, in addition to brain food, you need superfood. And that's what this is. This is superfood. It can teach you stuff that you're not going to get anywhere else in how to relate to life and how to relate. It answers the fundamental questions like, who am I? Where am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? Does my life matter? Is there purpose to my life? Is there meaning? Am I significant? Those kind of questions are in this book. The answers are right there. Now, the reason why people say, well, I don't really have much appetite for reading the Bible, is because you're filling up on junk food. I mean, if I go and I sit down and I watch six, 8 hours of television, I'm not going to feel like reading the Bible. Of course not. I have no appetite for the truth because I'm filling up on, Twinkies, that kind of stuff, or social media now today. And so for you students, I would say you need less Facebook and more face in the book. That'll make you wise. I don't think Facebook makes anybody smarter. So get into the book. Okay, number five, the fifth thing, and this is the most important of all. If you're going to learn to be wise, you must put into practice what I've already learned. Put into practice what I've learned. God doesn't teach you the second thing about life until you actually act on the stuff you already know. God is not in the business of simply satisfying your curiosity, and I'll tell you 15 really cool things about life. No, he tells you one thing, and he waits for you to act on it. Once you act on it, then you get to go to the next step. And once you act on that, you get to go to level stage 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. You have to apply the truth. You have to act on the truth. You have to internalize what you've learned. There's a Geico ad on TV right now. It goes like this. You're not really a firefighter until you've fought a fire. And you're not really an actor until you've actually acted in something. You're not really an author until you actually authored a book. And I would say, you're not really a believer in God until you start living by what you claim to believe. I have to act on it. I have to apply it. I have to internalize it. I want you to write this down in your outline. I haven't learned it until I do it. I haven't learned it until I do it. If I were to say, do you believe the Bible? A lot of you say, sure, I raise my hand. I believe the Bible. I said, well, do you do it? Well, no. Then you don't really believe it. You only believe the things in life that you actually do. The Bible says you're to forgive your enemies. Do you believe that? Yeah. Do you do it? No. Then you don't really believe it. I only believe what I actually do, and I haven't really learned until I do it. Now, Belshazzar, this guy, this king, he loses everything because he failed to do this last point. He failed to put into practice what he had seen and learned, and he pridefully refuses to learn the lessons of the prior generation. Remember, this guy is the grandson of the most famous king of the biggest empire of that day, Nebuchadnezzar. He saw Nebuchadnezzar literally lose his mind for about 7 years out of pride. He saw all the mistakes his grandfather made. He saw his grandfather come back and correct those things. He saw the good and the bad in his life, and he chose to ignore God. He chose to ignore the lessons. He chose to be prideful and throw parties. And God said, okay, you know, I might understand if you didn't know this, but you know this. And so your kingdom is being taken away. It's going to be divided. And Daniel was the one guy in the empire who had the courage to point it out. Look up here on the screen. Here's what the Bible says. Daniel said to King Belshazzar, even though you knew what happened to your father. You knew all that happened to your father and Nebuchadnezzar. Now, actually, you need to understand it. Nebuchadnezzar was his grandfather, but in Babylonian culture, you called any predecessor father. So they're using the predecessor term here. He said, you knew what your predecessor did. You didn't learn, but you didn't learn from his life. and you still refuse to humble yourself before God, who rules from heaven. Now, notice on that verse, he says, you knew, and he says, you didn't learn. Is there a difference between knowing and learning? Yes. You know a lot of things, but you haven't learned it till you put it into practice. I can go to a marriage seminar and learn all about how to have a good marriage and come home, and if I put the seminar on the shelf and I don't know anything about it, I haven't learned a thing. It's like if I say, you know, I'm going to lose some weight, I'm going to get a diet book down, and I start reading it and underlining it while I'm eating my Twinkies and my guacamole and chips and Coke float, and I go, man, I feel so healthy just reading this book. Has it changed anything in my life? Nothing. Not a thing. Not a zip. Zero. I haven't learned it until I do it. Do you know certain foods are bad for you, but you eat them anyway? Yeah. I can know about God and never learn to trust him. That's the difference. The Bible says wisdom comes not from the knowing. Wisdom comes from the doing. So here's the big lesson of this story. Why don't you write it down? If I don't humbly learn from the generations before me, this king Belshazzar didn't, then I'm going to end up making the same mistakes. If I don't humbly learn from the generations before me, I will end up making the exact same mistakes. And you learn a lot of things and have a lot of head knowledge, but not heart knowledge. Some people say some people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches because they got it in their head. They don't have it in their heart. They know, but they haven't learned. They haven't learned it. You know, true confession. I went to school a lot, a long time. I went to school for 24 years to get my master's, to get my doctorate. And in my field, the languages you have to learn it took a long time. And I will say, I've forgotten a lot of it, but I have never forgotten the most important thing. So let me tell you what I learned in 24 years of school. This is the most important thing to learn. You were made by God, and you were made for God. And until you understand that, life is never going to make sense. You were not made for you. You were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life is never going to make sense. Here's what the Bible says. Look up here on the screen. 1 Timothy 6:21. Some people have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know God. Some of you students, you're honor students. Congratulations. You get straight A's. Congratulations. But at the end of your life and all of our lives, God's going to give us a final test. And the good news about that, it's an open book test. Okay, all the answers are here. So you got an entire lifetime to prepare for God's final test. It's an open book test. And on that test, God is not going to say, "Did you show me your report card? Did you get straight A's?" And God's not going to say, "Let me see your bank account balance." He's not going to say any of those things. He's going to say this: "Did you get to know me? Were we friends? Did you build a relationship with my son who I sent to earth to die on the cross for you? You know anything? You know about it, but did you learn it? You know about it, but did you learn it? You had the religion, did you have the relationship?" Let me ask you a real question. You say, do you have God in your life? I've got God in my life. Really? Has he made any big changes? Has he transformed your life in any way? No. But God's in there. Oh, yeah, God's. He's never changed anything? No. Let me just say this. As I'm not an authority on a lot of things, but I am an authority on human behavior because I've dealt with people for 45 years, tens and tens of thousands of people. God is big, and God is really, 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 really big. And somebody who's just really, 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 really big can't come into your life without it making a really, really, really big change. So you may have gotten something, but you didn't get God. You might have gotten religion, but you don't have a relationship. Some people have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know me. Would you like to get to know him? That I can help you do. It starts with humility. Let's bow our heads. I'll pray a little prayer right now. If you want to pray it, you can just say it too. Dear God, I know you made me. I know you love me. And I know about you. But I really want to know you personally. And I want you in my life. And so today, as humbly as I can say it, I open my life to you. I want to start the journey of learning. And I want that to be a lifelong journey of learning. Not just about the world, but about you. And about others, and about myself. And I want to learn more and more about you every day. And so, as best I know how, I humble myself and I ask you today to accept me into your family. I want to learn you to love you. I want to learn to trust you. I want to learn to understand what Jesus, you came to do. And I simply pray this in your name. Amen.
Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time together. If you missed any part of today's message, just go to PastorRick.com to listen again. And be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. At a time when the coronavirus has millions of people worldwide isolated and dealing with emotions like fear and anxiety at a heightened level, it's clear that access to the hope of God and His Word is of paramount importance. At Daily Hope, we know how vital it is that as many people as possible find that hope as easily as possible. This month, we're excited to announce a $50,000 matching grant that will help us continue reaching out with the love of God during this unprecedented time in history. You can help ensure that God's Word continues to be delivered to more and more people around the world with a financial gift to Daily Hope. Today, when you give, we'll say thanks for your support by sending you a copy of Pastor Rick's book called Open Doors, A Year of Daily Devotions. It's a beautifully illustrated 365-day devotional from Pastor Rick that offers daily encouragement from the Bible. Call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com today to have your financial gift matched up to $50,000. And to receive your copy of Open Doors, A Year of Daily Devotions. We'll lose any part of the grant we do not match by the end of this month, so please contact us right away. That's 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com. And now here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, I want to just thank every one of you for your generous support. People all over the world are now listening to Daily Hope because of your financial support. Let me read you a letter from Rhoda, who lives in Papua New Guinea. Do you even know where that is? It's down toward Australia. Rhoda wrote, I want to let you know that the Daily Hope has helped change my views toward life because you share from the Word of God. She said, I've recommended Daily Hope to all my workmates, and since then, the life of one of my colleagues has changed, and she's always thankful for your sharing. We listen to Daily Hope every day. So I'm praying for you, Pastor Rick. Well, thank you. Thank you for your note, Rhoda, and thank you for writing all the way from Papua New Guinea, and thank those of you who are supporting this ministry so we can reach people like Rhoda. I'm glad you're living out God's principles in your daily life, Rhoda, and I want to say thanks to all of you for your support. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.